The end of the year brought the usual holiday festivities, though around the Fraser house there was little to cheer. Mrs. Fraser went through the motions of decorating a small tree and wrapping a few cheap gifts and baking cookies no one really wanted, and as always, she kept the Nutcracker running nonstop on the stereo as she gamely hummed along in the kitchen as though the season was merry. Things were anything but merry. Mr. Fraser had moved out 3 years earlier, and he wasn't missed as much as he was despised. In no time, he had moved in with his young secretary, who, as things developed, was already pregnant. Mrs. Fraser, jilted, humiliated, broke and depressed, was still struggling. Louis, her younger son, was under house arrest, sort of free on bail, and facing a rough year ahead with the drug charges and all. He made no effort to buy his mom anything in the way of a gift. His excuse was that he couldn't leave the house because of the court-ordered monitor attached to his ankle. But even without it, no one expected Louis to go to the trouble of buying gifts. The year before and the year before that, both of his ankles had been unburdened, and he hadn't bothered to shop. Mark, the older son, was home from the horrors of law school, and though even poorer than his brother, had managed to buy his mother some perfume. He was scheduled to graduate in May, sit for the bar exam in July, and begin working with a DC firm in September. When it became apparent that Louis planned to hog the sofa for at least 10 hours on New Year's Day and watch 7 straight bowl games, Mark made a quiet exit and went to a friend's house. Returning home that night, while driving under the influence, he made the decision to return to D.C. and kill some time puttering around the law firm where he would soon be employed. Classes didn't start for almost 2 weeks. He set his alarm for 8 the following morning and over coffee with his mom explained that he was needed back in D.C. "Sorry to leave a bit earlier than expected, Mom, but I'm out of here. I got my own problems." The first problem was his vehicle. A Ford Bronco he'd been driving since high school. The odometer had frozen at 187,000 miles, and that had happened midway through college. It desperately needed a new fuel pump, one of many replacement parts on the urgent list. The Bronco's max speed was 49 on level ground. To avoid being clobbered by 18-wheelers on the expressways, Mark stuck to the back roads of rural Delaware and the Eastern Shore. This gave him even more time to consider his other problems. Number 2 was his suffocating student debt. He'd finished college with $60,000 in loans and no job. Now, looking back, he wasn't sure where the idea of law school had originated, but he did remember overhearing a conversation between 2 frat brothers who were pondering weighty matters while drinking heavily. Mark was the bartender, and among many interesting things they had said, Mark had always remembered 2. The big D.C. law firms are hiring like crazy, and starting salaries are $150 a year. Not long after that, he bumped into a college friend who was a first-year student at the Foggy Bottom Law School in D.C. The feds were throwing loans at students. Anybody could qualify, and well, sure, he would graduate with a mountain of debt, but nothing he couldn't wipe out in 5 years. To his friend, at least, it made perfect sense to invest in himself with the debt because it would guarantee all that future earning power. Mark took the bait and began studying for the law school admission test. His score was an unimpressive 146. But this did not bother the admissions folks at the Foggy Bottom Law School. FBLS accepted him with open arms. His loan applications were quickly approved. $65,000 were simply transferred from the Department of Education each year to Foggy Bottom. And now, with one semester to go, Mark was staring miserably at the reality of graduating with a combined total, undergrad and law school, principal and interest, of $266,000 in debt. Another problem was his job. As it happened, the market wasn't quite as strong as rumored, nor was it as vibrant as FBLS had advertised in its slick brochures and near-fraudulent website. Mark had managed to worm his way into a mid-sized law firm that specialized in governmental relations, which meant nothing more than lobbying. His starting salary had not been established. He knew deep in his gut that his position was not secure.